Hey everybody, welcome to another, that was a little awkward, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax, I'm here with Michael Brazemley.
Hi everybody.
And well, it is time for another victory lap. That is what brings us here today, because a few days ago, Michael and I received certified letters from the National Association of Letter Carriers headquarters in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
And it is another decision that has gone our way.
Yep.
That is getting to be a trend. We are undefeated at the National Committee on Appeals. Yeah, well, we don't have any other appeals outstanding. This one is the appeal to our conviction. I mean, spoiler alert, you already know we won on our conviction for defamation of our election chair for talking about his charges. So he charged us under Article 10 of, that's it, really just talking about what we charged him with.
Yeah, so it was basically, we're talking about how they're failing to give us information. Because we were asking all kinds of information. All we got was, is you stop harassing me and don't bother me again. And every time we go around to ask another individual, they always say, he is the one you need to talk to. He is the one you need to talk to.
Right, the election chair.
The election chair. And he refused to give us any answers. So, I mean, we really had no choice.
Yeah, that is correct. Right, so eventually we file these charges. And then, it's been adjudicated now. Mm-hmm. It was retaliation.
Right.
Obviously, his charges were retaliation.
Because, right. Here's the thing. We weren't even charging him to be removed from running election or anything like that. We're just trying to hold him accountable for what he did.
Exactly.
That's it. Trying to get more information.
Yeah, that's right. And we got stonewalled. And and so anyway, so Michael and I got these charges. And when we had to defend ourselves in front of the branch, I know there's a whole episode devoted to it. It's called We Got Railroaded because we got railroaded. And we never got a proper investigation. We never got a proper chance to defend ourselves. We never got to face our accuser. And we also never really got to see like what rule we allegedly broke. Because in the charges against us, they don't cite any bylaws. They don't cite any constitutional provision except for that they're allowed to bring charges against people. And so that was a big part of our defense, was like, dude, what rule did we allegedly break? They don't cite a rule in these charges.
Right.
And
because there was nothing that we were doing wrong, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly
right. All they wanted us to do is shut up.
Shut up. Yeah, that's it. Just shut up. And we don't have to do that. We have protected speech, and that was part of our defense as well, is like the LMRDA protects our speech, not to mention the Constitution.
As we talked about before, when there is a defamation, they're supposed to take us to civil court and not our union.
Okay? Right, right.
And so he's already skipping the process. And then they have to show to the civil court what harm did we do to this person.
Yeah. Okay?
And since all we're doing is trying to find information, really, what harm are we doing to this person?
That's a great question.
Exactly. Absolutely nothing. That's why there was going to be nothing anyway.
Okay. So here is the actual letter that came from NALC headquarters from the Committee on Appeals, which is chaired by James Henry. And then the other members are Nicole Ryan and Lawrence Brown. All right. So here we go. This is what it says. Appeal number 12. So, dude, like a third or a quarter of the appeals that have gone up this year have been from us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've won every single one of them. So, hey, how about that? That's pretty good.
We're keeping them on their toes, I guess.
We are, yeah. And they're certainly seeing like who is on the right side of the issues in Branch 2502.
And those three are seeing it every time.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. And they're seeing specifically the arguments that I wrote, that Michael crafted, versus the arguments that our branch president writes.
Right.
And yeah, they're seeing which arguments are the more persuasive.
Well, that was also due to your help. You helped me with the language.
Yeah, well, I wrote it. Yeah. You crafted it, I wrote it.
We had talked about it, and then you put it together for me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah,
so we're a good team. I give you credit.
I do. Credit to both of us. Because there's arguments that I wouldn't have thought about. You know, all right. So anyway, here we go. In accordance with Article 11, Section 4 of the Constitution of the National Association of Letter Carriers and Article 11 of the Constitution for the Government of Subordinate and Federal Branches, the following are the findings of the Committee on Appeals in the above captioned matter, which is, of course, our conviction. Appellants Michael Brazenly and Alan Gygax are Branch 2502 members against whom Article 10 charges were brought by Redacted. Of course, it's not redacted in here, but I don't need those headaches. The charges allege that brothers Brazenly and Gygax had improperly discussed a separate set of Article 10 charges against brother Redacted on a November 4th, 2024 podcast and at the branch's November 6th, 2024 regular meeting. These discussions occurred prior to the charges being served on brother Redacted. The charges against appellants were read at the December 4th, 2024 regular branch meeting. A disinterested committee was appointed to investigate. The committee prepared a written report which it presented to the membership at the February 5th, 2025 regular branch meeting. So to cut in here, that was the meeting at which we got railroaded, where the finding, there wasn't really a fact finding that took place.
Yeah. So basically what happened was in November that we were charging the Redacted.
Yeah, for the election chair.
Hiding information. Okay? Right. And since our good old boy decided to delay that till December.
Yeah.
They found a loophole to try to get back as a retaliation. So they filed a charge against us as we were filing a charge against him.
Right. And because
he wasn't doing his job.
Right. You'll remember that the goodest oldest boy even said, like, hey, I can get Redacted to drop the charges if you drop the charges against him. Yeah. Which is obviously that was the purpose of filing the charge against us.
And we refused.
That is correct.
Because we weren't doing anything wrong.
Right. And in my email response to him, I said, I'm okay with these charges going forward because I think we'll eventually be found that we've done nothing wrong.
Which is funny because they should know by now between me and Alan, especially me.
That we know the fucking rules.
No, that's not it.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Is that we're fighters. That we don't fold.
Oh, especially you. Yeah.
Okay. We don't fold to matter. But do you think we're going to fold to them too?
Right.
Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
So stupid.
Especially you don't back down. And especially me, I know the rules.
Okay, I don't back down. Yeah. I mean, it takes extreme majors for me to back down.
Right. So, it continues. The members in attendance voted and found the appellants guilty of the charges, which is true. However, a penalty was not imposed as the branch apparently determined to refer that issue to a committee of non-branch members. All right, so I want to talk about this for a second.
Yeah.
Because at that meeting, we were found guilty, right? The meeting hall had pro-establishment, you know, people in there, which that's the way it goes. I mean, they're all members in good standing, just like anybody else. And they voted to find us guilty. I definitely, you know, based on the way this appeal has gone, we'll talk about the decision in just a second, like the reasoning for the decision.
Well, the reason that people changed the penalty thing is because Redacted decided to come up and how do you want to penalize
us? Yeah. The penalty that he proposed was that we would be suspended from all union activities for 6 months.
Uh-huh. No, I thought it was more than that.
I think it was 6 months. Because at the time, that's how long it was looking like it would be to redo the
election. So people actually stood up, not us, and said, wait, so you're just making it so that they can't run for the election.
Right.
That doesn't seem right.
Election. Yeah. That's exactly right.
So that's
right.
When people were like, whoa, wait a second. This doesn't look right at all.
Right. Suddenly things started to get a little more clarity of what was actually going on.
Yeah. And that's why they voted for somebody else to make that decision.
Right. So a really sharp guy, we talked about it again in that episode, said, hey, maybe we should just have a committee do this instead of us, you know, because
that's not from our branch.
Tensions are high. Yeah, exactly. And so that wound up delaying the penalty phase of our conviction. And thank goodness for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the problems, you know, with this abuse of power and abuse of process is if they had, let's imagine for a second that things actually went
their way.
And we get convicted, which we did, and then they remove us from union activities for the next 6 months.
And we file our appeals.
We file our appeal.
And we win.
But in the meantime, let's imagine that the election process actually went forward and Michael and I weren't allowed to run.
Mm-hmm.
Now the appeal gets, the conviction gets overturned on appeal, but we can't go back and redo that nominations again.
Right.
And we would have to like rerun the election
for the third time.
Yeah. And in the meantime, the people who we would have run against get to stay in office even further. And this is how the process gets abused by the people in power.
And I believe that is actually the warning that I think James Henry wrote on there.
We'll talk about that when we get down to that.
Yeah.
All right. So to continue, so again, the punishment was not imposed, or the penalty was not imposed at the time. Moving on. Appellants appealed from the branch decision, finding them guilty of the charges. They argue that the conduct they were charged with does not violate the branch bylaws or the Constitution as alleged.
See, it does say that we do not violate the Constitution and the bylaws of our branch 2502.
That is
literally
correct.
Says it by...
Yeah, well, that was our
appeal
argument,
team.
Right, mm-hmm. We had other arguments as well. And what I found now that I've seen a few of these mm-hmm. appeals is that they try to keep their decisions as limited as possible. And so they have an outcome that they've decided on. In this case, they're going to overturn our charges. And then they find a reason to do that. And then the other stuff really doesn't get addressed. And so we had a number of lines of argument, but this is the one that the committee latched onto. And rightly so. It's a very good argument.
Yeah, because we didn't violate anything.
Right. So they go on. They do acknowledge that it says they also argue that their speech was protected by federal labor law applicable to members' rights within the union. But they don't address that in their decision. They just acknowledge that that was another argument. So going on now, here's where they actually make their decision. Article 10, Section 1 provides that members may be charged with violating the Constitution or the branch bylaws. The charges against the appellants fail to meet this standard. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was no rule that was cited that we broke. We pointed that out.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So there you go.
You can't punish people for not breaking the rules.
Right.
And that's basically what they're saying.
Yeah, I want to read that one more time. Article 10, Section 1 provides that members may be charged with violating the Constitution or the branch's bylaws. The charges against the appellants fail to meet this standard.
Yeah. Basically saying we didn't break any rules.
Yeah. And there was no rule cited mm-hmm. that we broke. Which
they didn't cite any of the rules.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the charges. There was no.
They were actually talking about preamble.
Right.
And for most people, a preamble is just something that somebody's just talking about, like a summary of what
the
you want to do,
why,
an idea
yeah,
that they
want to
put
do.
In like in a book or something.
Right, exactly. Okay. So previous rulings have recognized that there is nothing in the Constitution that prohibits members from discussing Article 10 charges.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, that's exactly what we said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are not prohibited from talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
Similarly, there is no indication that the branch adopted a bylaw or written policy restricting members' rights to discuss Article 10 charges. Accordingly, there is no basis to sustain the charges.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
So they didn't want to even issue any type of discipline because they're saying we didn't break any rules, so they cannot issue any discipline.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And so here's what bothers me about the people who are enabling our branch presidents and the good old boys collectively poor behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We pointed this out.
Yes.
You know, we vociferously
mm-hmm.
made this argument. The argument that held the day, that carried the day at the national level. And we have people, we should have people on our executive board of our branch who understand these arguments.
By the way,
yeah.
The part that you read
mm-hmm.
is that they were choosing a committee that was supposed to be indifferent to the case.
Yeah, they may have been, but they were instructed
and they were not.
Otherwise.
They were instructed they saying, you're only there to protect the redacted.
Right.
That's and what our good old boy told the committee, because they don't know anything about any of these rules. So they were
right.
told by our good old boy,
right, that they were to make a case against us.
They're only making a case against us.
Right. And that they had to vote against us.
And they had to vote against us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that's
this was told by the people
who
that
were
was
on the committee.
Committee.
Right. Told us that after mm-hmm. the fact. Yeah. Told Michael that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good times. So this is what's so disappointing about it is, again, the people who are members of our branch executive board should understand these rules. Like when they defend carriers, one of the defenses to discipline is there a rule?
Mm-hmm.
We brought that up. They didn't care.
No.
They plowed right through it.
Yep.
And every single one of them voted to convict us despite these valid objections.
Well, the committee that was chosen, when I talked to them, and they said that when they brought their case to go against us,
mm-hmm.
they were so surprised that there was nobody else to go against them. The other person, redacted. Like, wait a second, what happened to that group?
Yeah, that's a great question.
They didn't know that they were supposed to look at that way too.
Right, and these problems are why National mm-hmm. had to come in and take over these investigations. And they would have taken over ours too, except that mm-hmm. it had already been convicted. They got that one in under the wire, mm-hmm. the branch did. And so again, you know, it's really disappointing to have...
But another thing,
Yeah.
Remember, our redacted, mm-hmm. the person that we're talking about defamation, right. he withdrew the charge against us on a general meeting.
Well.
Okay. But didn't tell the National, obviously, because now we got actual settlement.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, uh-huh. It's an interesting point because mm-hmm. at a meeting that I didn't attend because I was at Bryce Canyon, the charges, or no, maybe it was a previous meeting.
It was a previous
yeah. meeting. Yeah, that I didn't attend because it was my wife and I went out on a date.
Yeah.
Where we went to see Carrot Top. Yeah, I remember
yeah,
now.
Yeah, all right. We talked about it in your podcast.
Right, exactly. Previous episode. Yeah. And the punishment was brought up, like, how are we going to punish Michael and Alan? And argument went back and forth. And then the previous election chair said, I'm going to withdraw the motion of the punishment. Mm-hmm. I don't remember him saying, I'm going to withdraw the charges. He was withdrawing the motion to punish us. Mm-hmm. We took that as the charges were withdrawn. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. Mm-hmm. But it certainly never, word never got to National about it.
Exactly.
Because if the secretary would have passed that along, mm-hmm. then the decision from National would have been, this argument is moot because it's mm-hmm. been withdrawn. And so
I can guarantee if it was against us, they would have been like, oh no, we didn't agree to that.
Yeah. 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 That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, you know, working the system mm-hmm. in their favor to, yeah. So here we get this decision. So to get back to the disappointment, these officers of our branch, they're supposed to understand what it means to protect people's rights. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to understand what it means to have proper due process because we expect that for all of our carriers and for them to completely ignore that.
And go against the membership.
Yeah.
It's basically what they're doing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And to railroad us mm-hmm. when they should know better than anybody what due process is.
And here's where I'm really upset about our branch, okay? Mm-hmm. Union is created on freedom of speech and assembly.
Yeah.
Okay? And so when we're talking about on a podcast where that's a freedom of speech, and for our union to go after us for doing a freedom of speech is the complete thing going against the union.
Yeah,
by that's our exactly union right. officers.
Yeah, it violates the very principles upon which our union is supposed to stand.
Yeah. Yep,
that's exactly right. And this is what we're up against. Mm-hmm. How many times have I got to say in an episode, this is what we're up against.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a shining example of how hypocritical
mm-hmm.
and how willing they are to just run roughshod over people's rights.
Yes, they are.
All right, so now we get to go ahead.
And that's why, you know, we're doing what we're doing, trying to inform people. And anyway, don't get me wrong. I'm running for president, and I'm not 100% obviously good at what I do. But one thing I do know for sure is I am going to do everything in my power to protect all letter carriers, not stonewalling them like they do at my branch.
Yeah, that's right. And to be honest and to be forthright and to mm-hmm. be, you know, abide by the bylaws and all of that.
And number one goal, protect all letter carriers.
You're damn right. All right, so we get back to the end of this letter. Nonetheless, it reads, we caution the appellants that their actions are not without risk. Their conduct may very well have prevented Brother Redacted from receiving a fair hearing or an unbiased vote on the charges against him. If a charged party believes that members' discussion of Article 10 charges somehow compromise their right to a fair hearing, that could be a legitimate defense at the branch level or an appropriate basis for an appeal that this committee might very well sustain. But the conduct at issue was not a proper basis for Article 10 charges against the appellants.
So I want to talk about that a little bit. Okay. The reason that it was mentioned before it was charged is because our good old boy decided to
delay
not file
charges,
a charge and delay it.
Right.
And so because he decided to do that, I am talking to him because mm-hmm. he decided not to do it in a different room. He decided to do it in front of everybody to do that.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking about that's unfair for you to delay it because your job is to make sure that you file this charge. And somehow you're saying this person is out camping. And then later we found out that nobody knows the whole truth. That he was camping.
I certainly don't know the whole truth.
He was medically sick. He was done. I mean, they made all kinds of excuse why he was gone. Okay, that means they were lying because no story was straight. Okay.
Well, if you get two different stories, then obviously one of them has to not be true.
Yeah.
But
it was more than two.
I don't know about
those
that.
Other things. Okay. But either way, the whole matter is that because he blocked us from filing these charges, so it was out of anger. We're talking about, like, you need to file these charges because you got to do your job and things like that was coming up. And he's like, you can't talk about it. You need to be silent. You need to be quiet.
That's exactly right. They were trying to use the charges against the election chair as a gag order to prevent us from talking about the election issues at all.
So it wasn't just about talking about our election chair. They want us to be quiet about everything.
Yeah.
Using that as an excuse.
All of the improprieties. Mm-hmm. That's right. And we made the argument back. There is no prohibition about talking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And here in this letter, we were exactly right. So, and there was another abuse of power, an abuse of process by our damn president of our branch to try to prevent us from talking about these issues when he did not have a leg to stand on.
And as we found out, that he is the one who was the culprit of all these problems.
Yeah, that's right. Okay?
Yeah. And he was telling us to be quiet.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And the good old boy was making sure that you can't talk about anything. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Anything that we wanted to talk about, they would use that as an excuse. You can't talk about it.
Yeah, and he tried to call us out of order. Uh-huh. But here we have the actual rule. That, no, there is no rule that says we can't talk about it. He
And that's where I was talking about is that, they could have made it tough for us.
Yeah.
And they and thankfully, some people woke up as it was going on to change their mind.
Right.
Because even the people that is still against us, I overheard that they're like, wait, that's not what I'm going to allow people to do. Because, because they don't want to go through the same thing where they can't be part of the membership for 6 months if they ever want to run for election.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Anybody could see the retaliatory nature of what was going on. All right, so the final statement here. Therefore, it is the decision of the committee that this appeal must be, and hereby is, sustained. The charges against appellants are dismissed, effective immediately. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So,
chalk another one up for the good guys.
Exactly. It's sad. It really is sad that we have to go through all this because people are trying to keep us silent and not talk.
Yeah.
And doing a freedom of speech by our own union officers.
Yeah. And the people who are supposed to know these rules and supposed to enforce these rules are the ones who are standing up there and saying, you're out of order. You can't talk about this. Mm-hmm. And it's absolute bullshit. Mm-hmm. They are either wrong or they're lying.
Mm-hmm. And they've done everything in their power to try to keep us quiet.
Yep.
And I think it started to figure out that when they tried to tell us to be quiet, it was actually backfiring on them.
Yeah, it's not working. Because, and you can see it in the way the branch has been voting. The the worm is turning.
Yeah, because you can see some people who are actually talking back like, wait, why are you telling them to be quiet?
Right. Yeah.
So we're getting some of that too now. So
right. And they're trying to stand on procedure and they're fucking wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They're wrong.
Just, well, I mean, there's so many procedures they're trying to violate, just like the secret ballot that they were trying to do.
Yeah, right.
And which is another sad part is that we get people who are supposed to watch the all the charges, and they were good old boys club.
I'm not willing to go that far, but I get why you make that statement.
Well, they acted just like, we can't be in part of because we have to stay neutral,
even though
he's violating all these rules, we can't talk about it.
But even with
that's what was your job to do, was do investigation.
Even with that, when the president got up there to defend himself and essentially acknowledged the wrongdoing,
I know,
and still got found not guilty.
I know,
you know. Yeah, I mean, that's the benefit of the office. Well, and then on top of that, that's also the process. You know, the way Article 10 charges go is the committee reports their finding and
they didn't report it.
They
read a summary that was about a few sentences and that says, we can't be part of this. We have to stay neutral.
I know. I don't want to re-adjudicate the whole thing. But the moral of the story that I'm trying to get to is that the process is designed to favor the defendant. And, you know, part of that process, too, is that the defendant gets up there. They get to defend themselves. And then there's no rebuttal. You just go immediately from the defense to the vote. Yeah,
the way it's set up is that the defendant can say their stuff, but the people who's issuing the charge cannot talk.
Right. Exactly. And so the defendant could lie if they wanted to. And we know for a fact that there were in the defense.
Yes.
And that's what the audience gets to hear. And so it's a flaw in the process.
The biggest flaw is that when the investigator doesn't do their own findings, doesn't report it, and then the defendant gets up there and lies about it, you don't know what's truth anymore because nobody's saying anything that was bad.
And with the election chair, I mean, Like when he defended himself, against straw men, things that we didn't even accuse him of. Mm-hmm. And we're like, yeah, we know you didn't do that. That's why we didn't charge you with that.
Right.
So anyway, dude, the moral, the good thing here is that it's now behind us.
Yeah.
Right.
Now we can just work on the re-election. That's
yep. Going the to upcoming happen. Election.
And they won this one. If you really think about it. Because it's happening almost 11 months later.
Yeah, right. Almost they got to stay year. In office for almost a full year. Mm-hmm. Yep, on this tainted election that they tainted.
But they're still angry because it's still 1 month earlier than they actually want to do it.
It was 2 months earlier than the goodest oldest boy had proposed.
Well, no, because he wanted to do it
in January. He wanted installation in January.
He wanted to do it where nominations in October, right. Election in November, and then everybody move in January.
Right.
And then our overseeing a committee came in and says, no, nomination in September, election in October, then everybody move in November.
Right, which is 2 months earlier than the goodest oldest boy. Yeah, we had the
move. So, that's 1 month earlier than the election. So we got a little bit of a win on that, right. But still it's almost a year.
We need to keep an eye out for the nomination notices in the postal record because...
It's supposed to be out on this one coming up.
Okay. Because remember when the goodest oldest boy sent the nomination notice to me to see it, that he put in new positions that have not been approved yet in our bylaws. And that could throw a wrench in things. Mm-hmm. And so who knows what other shenanigans. So we'll see what's in there. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
What new position did he put in there?
He put the ones that are proposed in the bylaws, where he's the combination recording secretary and financial secretary. Yeah, before it got approved.
Yeah.
And dude, there's a whole question of if we change the positions midstream, what does that do to our notification? Does the notice stand or does it? It's a mess.
It is. They always create this mess.
Yeah, that's wild.
You know, they could have done this to saying, hey, we can't do any of this change until after the election.
Right.
But no, they chose to do it in the middle of the election to create more confusion.
Right. And when we talk about it, look, that's a topic for another time. We're already near the 30-minute mark. I think that's going to do for... It's amazing how fast it goes.
We can talk about this for like 2-3 hours, but it'd be like nonsense to you guys because it'd be the same thing being repeated back and forth.
Exactly. So that's enough of that. Guys, thank you very much for listening. Another victory lap, another win for the good guys. And it shows that at least if you can get to disinterested people, the process can work. And we're making it work for us. We keep winning at the national level. And the hope is that that carries over to wins at the ballot box when we redo our tainted election. So, Michael, thank you very much for coming by. Appreciate it. And that's it. We will catch you all next time.
Yeah.